Right, this clip isn't very long, but it's very important. Listen to this. That, my friends, is Charlton Athletic fans outside the Valley tonight after their 1-1 draw where they came back bravely from having gone behind. They're chanting 2%, you're having a laugh. This, after the Charlton Athletic, I think she's the chief executive officer is her actual title, she said, oh, I know there's some people who are concerned about the stuff that's going on at this great club, but it's only 2% of the supporters. Well, after the game today, there appeared to me to be half the crowd. I would say 50% of the supporters, several thousand Charlton Athletic fans, are making their voice heard. It's very unusual in English football. I think we are extraordinarily patient, extraordinarily supine, to use a word, but I think the Charlton fans have had enough. Let's find out what's been going on, what did go on today, and what will be going on. Rick Everett is the editor of The Voice of the Valley. He's one of many people who've worked towards this day and who've helped organise what went on. I'd like to say he joins us now on the season ticket. Good evening, Rick.
Good evening to you.
Rick, I know you're busy, so thank you very much for taking time to talk to us. First of all, talk to us about the day's events. What happened today at the Valley?
Two major protests, one before the game, the latest in a series of protests before the game. For the first time today, we encouraged fans to go back after the game. And for an hour after the game, there were a substantial number of people outside the West Stand letting the board and hospitality guests know exactly what we think about what's going on down there.
Well, that's why I chose that particular chant, because she will not be able to come now with a straight face and say it's just 2% of the Charlton fans who are unhappy.
Well, it's only a very small part of the rubbish that she's talked to in the 2 years she's been in the job, I'm afraid. You know, she's had five managers in 20 months. She claims that every one of those was the right decision. You know, I think most clubs where you've had five managers in 20 months, you think something rather strange is going on.
It's not possible, is it? The five right choices in 20 months.
Well, they haven't all gone to Manchester to manage Manchester United, have they? Rick, for those who are unfamiliar, and I'm not an expert either, in layman's terms, what's gone on at Charlton in the last few years? What has led you to this place where you feel you need to be in the streets voicing your opinion?
Well, there was a takeover 2 years ago today, I think it was, by a Belgian billionaire. He runs a chain of football clubs. He was formerly the owner of Standard Liège, who he sold in the summer, but he runs a number of other clubs across Europe. Tried to set up some kind of a network system, but what that meant for Charlton was bringing substandard Belgian players into the Charlton squad. That led to Chris Powell's departure. We've since then had a succession of mostly Belgian managers. One of them had just managed in Belgium and was actually Israeli. He's filled the club with Belgian staff and Belgian coaches. And a lot of the tactical advice and scouting operation comes from Belgium.
Well, let's be fair, Rick. Belgium are the number one team in the world, and Spurs are doing very well with a load of Belgians. It's not about the Belgiumness, is it? It's about the quality of the people you're bringing in.
Well, I think you'd have to say there's a lot of good football people in Belgium, but are all the suitable candidates for Charlton likely to come from that very small country?
Seems unlikely to me, Rick.
It does seem unlikely to us as well.
Okay, so tonight you had hundreds, if not thousands, outside the ground. I don't know what the official estimate is.
Well, certainly four figures.
Thank you very much for putting us right about that. I understand it was orderly and it was good-natured, but they cannot fail to have noticed that the peasants are at the gates. What would you hope the club would do in response to the growing unrest in the ground?
Well, I think the fans are now pretty clear that this ownership cannot continue. They would have to change direction by 180 degrees from where they are now, and they would have to demonstrate that they're ambitious for the club, because we all think, and some of us have thought for the last 2 years, that their main ambition is to farm players, that they've no real intention of pushing Charlton forward within the pyramid structure, that actually what they want to do is produce young players, buy in foreign young players and sell them on at a profit, and they're not really terribly interested in results in the meantime. Their problem is they're going to be in League One, they're going to lose millions of pounds as a consequence, they're going to lose a big chunk of the support. And what they're doing is just untenable, really.
Is there any sign, Rick, that these players could be farmed out? Are they, because the league position suggests, with so many coming into the club, that might not be the case. So I find it difficult to why certain individuals at certain clubs accumulate loads of footballers. I guess they hope that one might be worth 20, 30 million in a few years' time and they own part of him. But I see so many footballers going around the... Yeah, the leagues are not good enough.
We've seen some very good young players come through the ranks at Charlton in recent years. Diego Poyet would be one.
Yeah.
Joe Gomez, who's gone to Liverpool. And yeah, now we've definitely. Got Ademola Lookman, who I think everybody recognises in the game is an outstanding prospect. You know, he's played about five games for us so far. We're just hoping that the owner doesn't sell him during the January transfer window. So there are young players, and Charlton have got a good youth set up. But he's got no understanding, I think. He's brought in lots of players on the cheap from across Europe.
Yeah.
Those players are not equipped to play in a 46-game championship season, and that's shown by the number of injuries we've had. So we're ending up with very large numbers of young academy Charlton players, some of them very talented, coming into the team. They don't have the requisite experienced players around them, and they're managed by somebody who's come from a third division Belgian club.
Now, having picked you up on the Belgian thing, I'm now going to support you, Rick, by saying the problem is, unless you absolutely have done your homework, the temptation is to believe that the second tier of English football, as the second tier in every other country is, might be a bit of a doddle. The problem is, it's the hardest league in world football. You can't be bringing in any old footballer, any old Johnny, Johan, wherever they're coming from, because they won't thrive in the championship.
I think that's absolutely right, and I think that's been demonstrated amply by the experience of Charlton over the last 2 years. And what he would now do, and he's done in previous years, is he will bring in British players for the last 4 months of the season. He'll bring in people who are out of contract, people who haven't got a club. Last year we signed three players at the end, after the January transfer window, who were out of contract.
Free agents, and
they did a job for us, but it's all about doing it on the cheap. And then even if we stay up, which I have to say at the moment doesn't look very likely, we'll be back to the model in August. We'll have the same old rubbish coming in. And I'm afraid we'll be back having the same conversation next year, which is why he's got to go.
All right. Congratulations, Rick, on at least getting the people into the streets and in an orderly fashion to have their voice heard.
Absolutely.
But in the modern world, where these clubs are not owned by the local pork butchers, you can't boycott their products. What now can you do? Because these people are so remote from our football clubs.
I think they'll find that we can make the club unmanageable for them. You know, there's a lot of people around who've had experience at Charlton, who've worked for Charlton. This is not just a random gang of supporters on the street. We will make, if they continue down the current route, we will make it unmanageable for them. We will force them out.
Well, I'd love to see how you're going to do that, but thank you very much indeed for coming on and explaining the situation to us, and the best of luck with saving a club that's very close to my own heart for a number of reasons. Thank you, Rick.
Good luck, Rick.
Thank you.
Yeah, Rick Everett there, the editor, very clear-eyed editor of The Voice of the Valley. Yet another football club sold to owners who may or may not have been, you know, have perfectly good intentions, but have got some kind of money ball plan to make money out of the vast amount of cash that slops around the English game. And what you're seeing is a club that had been brought back to life, don't forget, by its community of supporters when it had no ground, when their training ground had a chain around it and a padlock. And they bought into it. There's some money to be made there. And they are not doing the right thing. And I hope the Charlton fans can bring them to our senses. And I say thanks today to Rick for coming on here, and all those of you on Twitter who responded to my request for a good person to talk to. He was one of the people who brought up. And it shows once again the value in live radio of being in touch with people in the actual moment.